Here are the highlights from the latest episode of Free Talk Live. Visit freetalklive.com for the full episode.
Chris, you and I had the same news about Firefox. Now, normally you don't, you know, Firefox doesn't make it into the news. It's just a browser, right? Like, it's one of the world's most popular browsers. It's
probably doesn't hit mainstream news.
No, it tends not to, but yeah, maybe in like the tech world, yeah, it'll hit the news here and there. But this one is definitely like it's cutting into some different areas, because this one's hitting the Bitcoin news, because the Firefox browser, which again, just a browser, right? Like, it's an open source browser that's been around for a long time. And recently, in the last year or two, it seems to have gotten really political. Have you noticed that?
Oh, it's not just been the last year or two, I don't think.
That's when it came across my radar that they were...
Political in what way?
Yeah, it's...
Like leftist?
Yeah, well, you know, it's actually interesting because there's been a conflict between the left and the... I want to say the right, but it's probably like the left versus everybody else. And over the years, and actually one of the founders, I think it was, actually...
of Firefox?
Yeah, was actually like kicked out of... Or one of the lead developers was kicked out of like the Mozilla over... I think it was his support for like some anti-gay bill or something in California.
Oh, wow.
Or something like that. And... yeah, and it was pretty crazy. Like,
they don't care how good of a programmer he is; his opinions,
right,
are, he's done
right,
for.
Right, right. Chromium is, you know, effectively Chrome minus a few components.
Is that also your critique of the Brave browser, because it was based on Chrome and then they put in like privacy protections?
That's the guy who got kicked out of Mozilla, actually.
Oh, really?
I actually originally thought that he forked Firefox, and I found out later that he forked
Chrome.
Chromium. Mm-hmm. and made the browser that he did.
Brave?
Yeah, Brave. Brave,
I think, if I recall correctly, Brave builds in Adblock. It builds like the sort of the tracker.
Right.
Protection.
I'm not a huge Brave fan. I do, however, like some of the things that Brave has like attempted to do and the route it's kind of gone. Mm-hmm. I think there's some crypto things going on. Like, it's got built in some sort of cryptocurrency.
Yeah, they've got a token.
Yeah,
and they pay people to run websites.
Well, it's not that was interesting. And maybe I'm just mistaken about this too, but isn't there a actual like cryptocurrency wallet built into the browser?
I don't know about that. I've never heard that they've
gone
that far.
A lot of people get confused because crypto.com's logo looks just like the Brave browser.
Well, actually, crypto.com is an advertiser with Brave. So what happens with Brave is you open up the browser and they show you an advertisement.
Maybe that's what I was thinking of.
So it's a lot of times it's from crypto.com.
So, yeah, and there's some other things. Like, I think they integrated a torrent like streaming client. Mm. So like you can watch torrents, videos that are
interesting
in torrents, I guess, basically.
Mozilla is walking away from this multi-trillion-dollar market and saying, no, even though our supporters are by and large technically adept people who would likely have cryptocurrency, we are going to just say no and not accept any more crypto donations, according to the story here that I have from Android Police.
We only want donations in currency that goes down in value.
Right. Yeah. Because if you cut out cryptocurrency, all you have left is government money, because I suspect you can't donate gold to them very easily. So they say here at AndroidPolice.com, Mozilla, on the verge of the new year, broke loose all hell when it reminded people with a playful tweet that it was accepting cryptocurrency donations, with Mozilla founder Jamie Zawinski and many others brutally criticizing the tweet's memeified dabble in Dogecoin and huddling some Bitcoin language. As such, the company has decided to review its practice and is suspending crypto coin donations for the time being. In a series of tweets, Mozilla said that it still thinks that, quote, decentralized web technology continues to be an important area for us to explore, but a lot has changed since we started accepting crypto donations, unquote. The discussion following last week's tweet, quote, led to an important discussion about cryptocurrency's environmental impact.
And the problem with this is that it doesn't have the environmental impact that the naysayers will want you to believe. Bitcoin is not as efficient in some respects or doesn't scale as well as other cryptocurrencies, mm-hmm. which is also kind of, if they were talking about obviously you're talking about crypto, not just Bitcoin, but if they're talking about Bitcoin specifically, maybe there'd be some argument to it, only because they've kind of refused to allow it to scale and implement, you know, the technological, you know, fixes to increase its ability to scale. But
I don't think that would change the mining.
Crypto in general.
If you doubled the, I mean, without getting too technical,
yeah,
here,
sure.
The scaling with Bitcoin is a problem with a data factor. It's a block size. So
yeah, sure,
the
right.
block size right now is 1 megabyte.
Right.
There were proposals to double it and to quadruple it, and those never went through. And that's
right.
That's the bottleneck. If you were to double from 1 megabyte to 2 megabytes, you would double the throughput
right.
as far as the Bitcoin is concerned. But that doesn't change the mining factor. The miners still have
right.
to keep cranking away, no matter what the block size is. So
right.
that wouldn't have an effect on the quote unquote power, you know, consumption of Bitcoin.
No, it doesn't. But it would reduce from a transaction perspective how much energy was. I mean, because it can't. Because effectively, what you'd be arguing is it can't scale, and because it can't scale, then you have a limitation on like how efficient it can be.
The climate is important. It's just BS to say that using cryptocurrency hurts the climate. You shouldn't give in to their dumb argument that's false, patently false.
Yeah. No, I'm not giving in at all.
And this is something we were talking about off air here, is that it costs more to produce certain coins in the United States than the coins are worth themselves.
You mean the government money.
Government's own money,
yeah.
right? So
yeah,
like this idea...
3 cents for a penny or whatever.
Right, exactly. This idea that like, okay, so the it doesn't cost more to produce than it's worth, right? In the
yeah.
case of cryptocurrencies. So
if it were, then people would not do it.
Yeah, right.
Like it has to be worth doing in order for people to mine
right.
cryptocurrency.
It only is profitable to mine cryptocurrency if it's worth more than the cost of actually mining it.
Correct.
So.
The electricity, the equipment,
right.
you know, the rent or whatever you got to do.
In instances where it, it costs more after a certain period of time, it becomes easier to mine to reduce the cost, therefore, you know, continuing the mining of the crypto.
Right. That's another important point to bring up, is that mining cryptocurrency accelerates the development of efficient, you know, production of this thing, right? So like people who mine want to have the most efficiency. They want to take the minimum amount of power and get the maximum amount of results.
Right.
And so they're constantly demanding more efficient mining technology as far as the actual electronic devices that they're using, and they're looking for cheaper and cheaper sources of power. This story coming from Cointelegraph.com, that the banking industry consumes over 260 terawatt hours per year in power. The banking industry, which includes ATMs, card networks, bank branches, bank data centers at the top 100 banks. So this is a low number, right? Like this is a conservative estimate as far as what the banking industry uses. By comparison, you want to take a guess at Bitcoin?
I just don't know what
terawatt hours.
I think comparing it this way is kind of confusing because the banking system is so much larger than Bitcoin is right now, or cryptocurrencies in general. But at the same time, if you look at it like on a per transaction cost basis, certainly cryptocurrencies is way lower than, you know, sending a wire transfer or, you know, just the cost of using.
But the average person arguing that Bitcoin is bad for the environment doesn't even realize what you're saying, that Bitcoin is also a smaller thing in general than the banking industry.
That's
right
true.
Now. So they just think, oh, it's just that I heard somebody say that. Elon Musk said that it was...
It's a big number. That's all they hear. It's like, yeah, except that relative to like per cost transaction. And just to be clear, the cost of the transaction has a connection to the environmental impact, which has been shown.
As you pointed out, Bonnie, the climate's an important thing. Like, you know, we want to have nice water to drink, and I don't want to, like, burn to death or whatever. But at the same time, I don't believe the government is going to make the earth cleaner. I don't believe the government is going to clean up things.
A worse job than what the free market could do as far as incentives for people to do good.
Well, as you pointed out, the U.S. military is the number one polluter, more so than I believe some of the top corporate polluters combined.
Yep.
Out there. So you can't trust the state to do anything for the environment. Just look at the EPA polluting rivers and, you know, you name it. There's so many different examples of government completely like counter to their supposed statements as far as
yeah,
what they do.
And one of the problems with these introducing other sorts of political ideas into your especially a nonprofit, I think, organization, is that it actually undermines the very cause in which you are working for, whatever that cause may be, right? You should be able to have people who are Republican and Democrat and Libertarian all working on a web browser.
Yeah, if they can bring something to the table, right, which is to say programming knowledge and skill, then right, they should be welcome.
Right, and the problem with introducing other political ideologies or implementing certain political ideologies ends up being that you then undermine your ability to attract the best talent to, you know, in this case, I guess, yeah, it would be accept donations.
Leftists could understand that big banks are bad. I think they could understand that, because a lot of leftists are against corporations, right? That's, they don't realize that the government is corporations. So, like, that's another talking point. But just generally, they're against corporations as a whole, right? Especially the big ones. And so you can point out that this actually, you know, the whole idea of decentralizing money, decentralizing a way for people to store their value instead of relying on these mega corporations, is a very kind of a, you know, that can appeal to a leftist on its, just on the surface. Like, this helps you. This helps the little guy, right? People on the left are all about helping the downtrodden, helping the little guy. And the banking system, they know, or at least they should know, is about cutting out the little guy, right? Like, the banking system, there's a bunch of people in the United States that are unbanked. That they don't want, the banking system doesn't want to deal with them. Maybe they, you know, maybe they bounced a check or something like that, or they got mad and they left a bank with a negative balance and now they can't open a bank account anywhere else until they settle up. Whatever. There's all kinds of stories that people have with
My ex, who was an illegal immigrant, he couldn't get a credit card or anything like that, but you can, you know, get services like that online with cryptocurrency without having to show your green card.
I wanted to bring up the Kazakhstan. How do you pronounce that? Kazakhstan?
I think it's Kazakhstan.
Yeah, Kazakhstan, right. So it's been in the news.
Yes.
So is it a country or is it a city?
It is a large country south of Russia and sort of northwest of China.
Oh, Kazakhstan. So it is not Russia. It is a separate country, right?
Correct. Yes. However, Russian troops have been rolling in by the thousands,
3,000
troops over the last few days to suppress an uprising of the people.
It might get confusing that it's not Russia, considering the fact that the Russians believe that they have some kind of right to roll tanks in and tell people that
well,
they're
going to probably invited.
Yeah, I was going to say that was
invited by the government.
The authoritarian dictatorship invited them to help suppress the revolt.
But, you know, the thing about it is that it was their president, the government that's in control, that has.
Well, they're barely in control at this point. Now, they're claiming that they've got control again, according to the mainstream media. But somebody made an interesting point that if you were to search YouTube for Kazakhstan, you get all the mainstream media stuff, but if you search Odyssey, Odysee, you get actual on-the-ground videos from the protesters. Do you support what the Russian government has been doing, pushing, you know, putting pressure and violence towards its supposed allies?
Well, you know what? I think those are the four. I mean, I know people got killed, but here's the thing. My belief is that the majority of the people, they want socialism, communism. It's just a few handful of people.
They obviously didn't like the price controls. They didn't like the price controls on the gas prices. So I don't see why you would assume that they like.
Yeah, if people wanted communism, they would have communism, Sarah. I mean, the former Russian states have rejected communism.
Here's a paragraph about how the president that they are just now overturning, you know, with their uprising, got elected.
Kasym Tokayev.
Yes, it says in 2019, Tokayev assumed office as the acting president of Kazakhstan after Nursultan Nazarbayev's resignation. So he resigned and the other one just took office. Tokayev, the one that is president now, a member of the ruling Nur Otan party, ran in the following snap elections held on June 9th with the support of Nazarbayev as the nominee of the party, winning with 71% of the vote, which was received with criticism by international organizations and the opposition, facing public scrutiny.
According to the Wall Street Journal, the Kazakhstan president, now again, a lot of the government resigned. this week in Kazakhstan because, well, their buildings were being set ablaze.
Cops were being beheaded.
Yes, by protesters, with more than a dozen cops killed, three of them beheaded, apparently, according to mainstream media reports about this. Kazakh President Kasym-Jomart Tokayev said that he'd given the order to police and army to shoot without warning as the country's security forces scoured the streets of Almaty and other cities for protesters after days of unrest triggered by a fuel price increase. So again, thousands of people, probably hundreds of thousands of people in Kazakhstan took to the streets, set government buildings ablaze, all because the fuel costs doubled.
And I suspect that these are subsidized and they're not subsidized now, and that's what's going
on. Could be.
Yeah.
I don't know what the politics is behind it, but obviously these people, I mean, it wasn't just fuel, right? Like, that's just the straw that broke the camel's back. That's the that was the final thing that set people off. But he claims that his government has largely restored order and told a meeting of his security goons on Friday that what he called a counterterrorism operation would continue, quote, until the full liquidation of the militants. Oof. Whom he said were still using weapons.
So he's basically attempting to... He basically wants to commit genocide, it sounds like.
You brought up MoneyGram and Western Union when we were talking about people being unbanked a little while ago. And I've had a story, actually, for a couple of months about MoneyGram, interestingly. According to Coindesk.com, they are now actually working with a cryptocurrency. They're working with the Stellar blockchain.
Interesting.
In order to create money transfers instantly using the USDC stablecoin over the Stellar blockchain.
You know what? I wonder if this is because it's cheaper than using the traditional banking system.
Whatever it is they're currently using. Yeah.
It's more efficient. It makes sense.
How will they get a fee? How will Western Union get a fee in that
situation?
They'll
still charge you.
Yeah, they'll charge you, the end user, but they're really just transferring cryptocurrency on your behalf, probably.
Yeah, so why would people choose to do that instead of just using...
Because they don't know better.
Okay. Yeah. Yeah, you know. People have been
they're trained to use these services.
This is what people know, you know. And then of course you've also got people who have been, you know, manipulated, you know, as we were talking about earlier. You know, the left is you know, they don't want to use cryptocurrency because it hurts the environment, but then they'll go and use MoneyGram or was it MoneyGram, was it?
This is MoneyGram in this case.
MoneyGram, yeah. to send crypto but not even know it indirectly.
Well, I mean, as far as the value, I guess, of this, Bonnie, is that it does allow the end user to pick up cash. There's a lot of money that remittance companies move around the world.
Oh, for sure.
And the two biggies, at least in the United States, are MoneyGram and Western Union. I'm pretty sure Western Union is number one, probably, just because they've been around longer.
The only one I know by name. I can't think of another one.
Western Union, MoneyGram.
Yeah, those are the two. There's a few others.
There's definitely others. TransferWise is another one.
Another one. They do the Walmart to Walmart.
Yeah, there's definitely at least, like, if you start talking about like money transfer services that are licensed, there's actually like a lot. There's a lot of them that you've never heard of. But some of that is also because of it's because like there's entities that are doing it on behalf of other entities, and they also have to be licensed. So
like, but, Walmart using theirs.
No, I'm thinking more like mom and pop shop, where you might be able to go in and do some sort of money transfer thing. They, I think, have to be licensed as well. So it's not just, I don't know enough about it, but I just know there's like hundreds of them in like probably just New Hampshire alone. So that are registered. So.
Yeah, it's not easy to pull up a quick stats on what kind of money they might be moving here, but according to the Wikipedia article about them, their revenue was $900 million in 2019. Go look at Coin ATM Radar, for instance. It's a website that lists the different crypto, mostly vending machines, but some of them actually will vend cash out. So most of these things, you put cash in and you get crypto out. But some of them are what they call two-way machines. And some of these machines, you're paying 10%.
Yeah.
If not more.
It's interesting because most people seem to buy crypto, but they don't seem to cash out of crypto. So it's very, I don't know, it's very interesting.
Well, those are probably the people you know. There are a lot of people who are cashing out of crypto.
I'm thinking of like
time.
Business owners that are accepting crypto.
I agree with you. Around here, most of the business owners are holding on to the crypto because they see it as something that could grow in value. But we know at least one business owner that is fairly often cashing out crypto. There's one guy that's in particular.
True. Yeah.
And, you know, I mean,
there's others who we've know who've also spent it after right. it went up a bit, like usually, on vacations and things like that.
Yeah. Usually those people, they'll call a friend or they know somebody who will buy the crypto from them and give them cash. And that's obviously the easiest and the most private way to cash out of crypto. But for a lot of people that maybe they're unbanked, they don't have the ability to just sign up for Coinbase or Uphold.com or one of these other websites that'll connect to your bank account and let you cash out that way, to actually be able to walk into a physical location. Like MoneyGram, for instance, I think they, I don't know if it's 7-Eleven. I think Walmart uses them, if I recall correctly.
There are many genuine threats facing humanity. None of them require authoritarianism or infringement of civil liberties.
That's according to Fee.
Yeah.
Yeah.
A recent study published in American Political Science Review, a quarterly peer-reviewed academic journal published by Cambridge University, begins with a teasing question. Quote, is authoritarian power ever legitimate? For many, the answer is clearly no, concedes the study's author, Ross Mitiga, an assistant professor of political theory at the Pontifical Catholic University of Chile. But Mitiga, in the abstract to the study, suggests otherwise. Quote, while under normal conditions, maintaining democracy and rights is typically compatible with guaranteeing safety in emergency situations, conflicts between these two aspects of legitimacy can and often do arise. A salient example of this is the COVID-19 pandemic, during which severe limitations on free movement and association have become legitimate techniques of government. Climate change poses an even greater threat to public safety. Consequently, I argue legitimacy may require a similarly authoritarian approach. Quote, the relevant question is not whether giving up democracy was somehow necessary for addressing the emergency. Quote, I mean, in this case, COVID-19. Clearly it was not, and I certainly never suggest as much in the paper. Yes, he does. He says it was legitimate in 2020 because of COVID-19. He said that. But whatever.
Well, maybe he's saying that in the actual full paper that he wrote, that's not the conclusion that he comes to, but perhaps, you know, he wrote in his abstract that you know, it was legit. I don't know.
Or he's just some kind of a liar, power-seeking psycho person. But anyways.
Good chance.
Quote, yeah. Rather, the real question, the one that gets at what I tried to argue, is whether democracies have addressed the emergency in purely democratic rights-respecting ways. The answer is not, of course, that they have not. The answer is, of course, that they have not.
And who's saying this now? The author?
The author of the study. So he's okay. Just kind of trying to backpedal, even though he clearly said the government legitimately used authoritarian tactics during COVID-19, the quote-unquote pandemic, because it was a safety emergency. He's just kind of backpedaling.
Okay.
Because he got backlash on Twitter. Okay. Quote, less legitimate nations shun authoritarianism. That's the next headline. It's kind of confusing to read on the radio that way.
If you have something that's unconstitutional, like a law that's unconstitutional, it's still legal until it's overturned.
That's right.
So that's like what the lawyers are
saying. That's y'all's argument, I think, on this one. And thank you, David, for the call tonight. I appreciate it. The number here is 603-283-6160. Ultimately, it's just mincing words over illegal versus unconstitutional.
Yeah.
And regardless, I mean, to me, I don't care whether it's legal or not. You know, bad laws should be disobeyed.
Right, right.
It's not that I'm saying, oh, you
and
should obey
argument.
These laws because they're legitimate and they're legal. It's just that I'm tired of hearing Republican-type people saying, like, their only argument against the government doing something is they didn't do it the way that they said they were going to do it. Yeah. You already know they're going to do that. They they don't play by their own rules.
Right.
Sorry.
They do whatever they want.
Yeah, I mean, yeah.
And most of the time they get away with it.
I agree with you guys. I think it's better to argue against something rather than saying, but it's illegal. Mm-hmm. You know, I mean, it might not be legal, but you won't know that until it ends up in a courtroom. And then maybe not even after that, because, you know, you might have to appeal it.
And
then, of course, it never gets
decide.
Appealed. And then the government or the courts won't even allow you to appeal it because, you know, the Supreme Court, you know, they only take like less than 1% of cases, at least at the federal level.
Or they'll just side with their side, which is the government.
Right. Yeah.
A lot of the time, the thing that is illegal is actually the moral thing. So, for instance, like helping a slave escape.
Sure.
You know, that's one example. In the chat over on our YouTube stream, people are talking about this governor goon over in Florida, DeSantis, who just gets all this press.
He's so wonderful.
From the right wingers about how much of a freedom fighter he is, and all of this social media that's going around promoting this guy. Okay, so he said some things that were okay when it comes to mandates about COVID, but everything else about him is your standard right-wing authoritarian police right, status.
So it sounds to me like you're saying you have no plans on moving back to Florida.
Definitely have no plans to move back to Florida. There's no doubt about it.
That's good to hear.
but this guy, you know, you don't have to dig very deep before you find out that this dude never found a pro-police law that he was against.
Yeah.
I mean, he's totally like a back-the-blue police statist. He passed a red flag law, by the way, so a lot of gun owners know what
really?
That means out there. Yep. He signed a minimum wage increase recently as well in Florida. So, I mean, the dude is just another government goon. That's all he is.
Yeah, that doesn't even sound Republican. That sounds like a mix of
it's
Democrat
and
Republican.
Thing.
It's yeah, it's... Ugh.
You just heard highlights from the latest episode of Free Talk Live. You can download full episodes, subscribe to our podcast, listen live, and more, all for free at freetalklive.com.